What I'm preaching this morning, a man, a preacher, never enjoys preaching what I've got to preach on this morning. And especially never enjoys preaching it when he's got visitors in the house of God. But I've got another message ready on the other side of the book, but the Lord said no. This is where he wants us to be this morning. And I'm probably going to preach a different style than you've ever seen me preach before. Because this morning, from what I've got to say, I may want to develop it into a Sunday school lesson. And rather than hoop and holler at you, say it kind of patiently and be patient and very cautious, very articulate with my words, if the Lord would let me do so, and bring the thought that God has without a doubt laid on my heart this morning. I want to ask you to turn to the book of Acts, chapter number 5. The book of Acts and chapter number 5. I'm going to read several verses, not several, a few verses of Scripture there. Acts chapter number 5 for the morning hour. And I want to begin reading in verse 1, a very familiar passage of Scripture in the book of Acts. If you've read through this book much, I'm sure you're well acquainted with this portion of Scripture. The Bible said, "But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira his wife sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart, that thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God? But an Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, Tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, Yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, Why is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost, and the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband, and great fear came upon all the church and upon all as many as heard these things." Now may the Lord add his blessing to that. You pray with Brother Hall this morning. We try to bring the message God's given us. Our Father, I'm thankful, Lord, for the Scriptures that you've laid upon my heart this morning. And Lord, you know the heaviness of my heart. Lord, you know the burden that I'm under at the present hour. You know the need of the church and even our visitors that are here today. And I'd pray, Father, that you'd bless us with your divine presence. I pray that you'll comfort and strengthen every heart. I pray that you'll open our eyes to some truthful things, Lord, in this text. And I pray that you'd grant me the power and the unction, the liberty that I need this morning, Lord, to preach what you've laid upon my heart. Give me the grace, Lord, that I need to stand in this hour and say everything that needs to be said. Help me, Lord, to refrain from saying anything that the Lord would not desire. Save sinners, I pray. Revive your people. Strengthen the hearts of God's people. And, Lord, we'll thank you and praise you for all you do. For we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you now, and you may be seated. I want to take these verses this morning, if God would help me, And he'll have to, or I'll tell you, I'll make a mess. No need of you trying to follow me in an outline. I don't believe I've got the real outline. I've just got 2 points, on really outline-wise. But I want to try to preach for a little while on the thought of playing church. Of just playing in the house of God. Pretending to be that which we are not. And playing with holy things. If you notice what I read, wrote in the bulletin this morning, that the responsibilities and privileges that we have as a child of God is not something that need to be taken lightly. But salvation and living for God is a very weighty matter. Our Lord said that we are to take up our cross daily and come after Him. And if we're going to serve Him with a diligent spirit, then we're going to have to be faithfully dedicated not only to the Word of God, but to the services in the house of God and to those responsibilities and privileges that God's given us. Now, this is not part of our message, but as a Sunday school teacher, you need to take that responsibility and weigh it in the balances. Amen. and realize that it's not something that you can take lightly. Amen. You need to dedicate time to study, dedicate time to preparation, dedicate time to prayer, and prepare yourself because there's people sitting there in front of you that need instruction from the Word of God. I found out a long time ago that most people don't know how to live for God on their own. But if they will follow the instruction they receive in the house of God, it will help them and enable them a great deal to live for the Lord. When we're singing, we ought not to take that lightly. We ought to pray, as Benny said in Sunday school, that God would fill us with the Holy Spirit of God. You'll never be a blessing to people until you are filled with the Spirit of God. That's whether it comes in teaching, whether it's in preaching, whether it's in singing, or any other aspect of our Christian life, we're going to have to learn to be filled with the Spirit of God. And I'm afraid that we've got people today, not only here, but a number of places, that are sitting on the pews and they're playing church. Many of them have not really been born again. They're just going through the motions of a religious exercise without really knowing the God of heaven. And I've learned that a lot of people that are saved, they're not far behind them. They too are playing church. In other words, they're living right on the borderline. They're fence straddlers. They're like the tribe of Reuben, the half tribe of Manasseh, that wanted to remain on the wrong side of the Jordan when God had told them to go in to Canaan land and there to possess the land of Canaan. They said, there's water here, there's grass here, let us remain here. What they were doing were playing with holy things and playing with the instruction that God had clearly given them. And they clearly, in my estimation, rebelled against the will of God, what God wanted for them in their life. They were playing church. And I'll tell you what playing church will lead to. It'll lead you to a devil's hell. It'll lead you to a Christless eternity. We're not to play with holy things, and we're not to come to church to play, not just to be there, to be there. We come, ladies and gentlemen, for one reason, and that is to glorify the God of heaven. He has designated the church as a divine place upon this earth that we're to congregate together for the purpose of worshiping God. He is seeking those that will worship Him in spirit and in truth. And yet we come to church and it seems like nothing moves us or draws us to His heart and His mind. The love that He's given us, it seems like nothing warms us and stirs us. And I'm afraid the reason is many of us are playing church rather than getting down to business with God and realizing there's a Bible that we ought to read and there's a prayer life that we ought to be dedicated to and there's a house of God that we need to come to with the purpose of worshiping and praising and adoring our God that loved us and died upon Calvary for our sins. Amen. Now, you know that I've been preaching some things about the Apostle Peter. And leading up to I'm going to be teaching through that book very shortly, God being my helper. But it seems like every time I get ready to start in the book, the Lord will lay something else, another experience that Peter had in his life with the Lord in my heart. And I've got to preach that experience because this is the man that wrote the book. And the more you know about the man that wrote the book, the more you can understand about the book. And while I'm there, let me say this. The more that you'll know about the man that wrote this book, the more you'll understand about this book. Well, they went to the NIVs and the RSVs and the Living Word and all and say, we want to understand more about the Bible. I'm going to tell you, if they'd get acquainted with the man that wrote the Bible, ladies and gentlemen, they'd understand more about the Bible. That is, it takes the Holy Ghost of God to open up the Word of God to you and I that we might understand the Word of God, that practice the Word of God and hide the Word of God in our heart that we might not sin against the God that wrote the Bible. Amen. I'm telling you, it's the greatest book in all the world and yet the most neglected book in all the world. 66 books in one book, hallelujah, that make up the book, what we call the Word of God. Amen. And so, we find in these verses that I read another interesting, may I say, very interesting segment in the life of the Apostle Peter. It's the story of Ananias and Sapphira and how they schemed together to lie to the Holy Ghost, pretending they had sold some land they had sold, but pretending that they had given the entire price of that land to the apostles. When really they kept back part of the price of the land. Now, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I'm telling you the Bible said they lied to the Holy Ghost. Peter said, you did not lie to men, but you lied to the Holy Ghost. And I'm just telling here, this is a couple that were playing church. They saw others doing something they wanted to do, and when they went to do it, they didn't really have it in their heart to follow what the others were doing, kept back price of the land, and God buried both of them, ladies and gentlemen. They didn't call the coroner. They didn't call the undertaker. They were some young men that just wound them up, carried them out, dug a hole, dumped them in the hole, and buried them. And the Bible said that great fear fell upon all that heard these things. Brother Jerome asked me over there this morning. He said, what do you think it's going to take to get the church to where Benny's preaching about? I said, God may have to kill half of them. Amen. I'm serious. Hey, we got some young people in here that are toying with the things of God. And I'm not so sure there's not some adults that are playing church and playing with the holy things of God. And God may allow that for a little while, but I'm telling you, there'll come a time when God will put a stop to that. You see, in chapter 4, in the previous chapter, and in verse number 32, the Bible says, the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul, neither had any of them that aught of the things which they possessed was their own, but they had all things common. And in verse 36 and 37, it was Barnabas, namely, who having a piece of land sold it, and the Bible said that he brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. I want to say something right there, ladies and gentlemen. If you and I had the same spirit today that they had in the early church, there would be no financial problems in the house of God. Now, I'm not implying you need to go out and sell everything you have, but I'm telling you that the early church, when there was a need, the Bible said that they sold their land, they sold all that they had, and they had all things in common. That is, if one family had a need, everybody helped that family. Another family had a need, they all helped that family. And I'm telling you, getting people to help families today is like trying to pull hen's teeth. There ain't none! It's because we're playing church. We're not really involved in the church. We come because we feel like We have to. Now, Ananias and Sapphira, in their attempt to gain some recognition as Barnabas, they sold their land also, but kept back part of the price. They were playing church. They were found to be a hypocrite in the house of God. Now, I want you to listen to me carefully. Here is Barnabas, the son of consolation, that had a land and sold it, brought everything that he had, and laid it down at the apostles' feet. And there's no doubt, and it's not in here, I'm reading between the lines, but there's no doubt that he received some praise from man. He was praised by the church, no doubt, for doing that great act, bringing all that he had and giving it to the house of God and to the work of God. And Ananias and Sapphira saw that come on in the house now, and I'm sure that a little jealousy crept up in their heart. They said, oh, Barnabas is being recognized for everything that he does, and nobody knows that we're here. What we'll do the same thing, only we'll hold that part of the price for ourselves for a hard time. And I'm telling you that God, who looks upon the heart, searches the heart, and tries to arrange, looked upon the sin of their heart, and Peter did detected it, ladies and gentlemen. And the Bible said that when Ananias was questioned by Peter, that he fell down dead because he had lied unto the Holy Ghost. You know, a lot of people do things for recognition. There used to be a fellow in the church. I'm not going to call his name. All of you know him. And then when I say this, many will know who I'm talking about. But if we took up a special offering, he'd get up out of his pew and open up that wallet and pull a $100 bill out of it and come walking up the aisle with that $100 bill in his hand. He wanted everybody to know that he has given a $100 bill to the church. May I say to you that the Bible says that man's got his reward. Oh, come on in the house. Here was a couple that wanted recognition. They wanted people to recognize them as being Mr. and Mrs. Somebody in the house of God. And I'm telling you, the church will do better when we all realize that we're not somebody's in the house of God, that we're nobody's in the house of God, and we're nothing in the house of God, but He is everything in the house of God. He must have the preeminence in the church. He is the head of the church, the preeminent one in the church. It is Christ that we've come to honor today. It is God that we've come to worship today. It is Jesus that we've come to praise today, because He is the one that suffered for our sins, died on the cross, gave His life, shed His blood, and died and rose that we might be saved. He is the suffering one. Amen. He is the sent one. He is the sanctified one, because He said, the Son hath the Father sanctified. I'm telling you, He is the suffering one, the sent one, the sanctified one. And He demands recognition in the house of God. Amen. Come on in the house. Now, ain't nothing wrong with being good to one another. And there's nothing wrong with people being good to their pastor. Amen. Nothing wrong with a Sunday school class being good to their teacher. Amen. Nothing wrong with husbands being good to their wives. Amen. Wives being good to their husbands. Amen. But I am telling you, when it comes to this thing of congregating in the house of God, He is the preeminent one. And He's the one that we ought to recognize. But here is a couple that were found to be hypocrites. That is, they were actors. They assumed a character that they did not have. Oh, I wonder how many folks today are sitting on church pews and they have assumed a character that they do not have. In other words, they're playing church. They're not really what they say they are. I'm telling you, I've heard testimonies as hollow as a drum. Not an ounce of God behind them. I've heard shouts that didn't have an ounce of God behind that shout. I've heard singing that didn't have an ounce of God behind that singing. I'm telling you, it's just folks, ladies and gentlemen, who are playing the part without the heart. And I'm telling you, it'll run out on you someday. It'll run out on you someday. And it'll show up on you someday. Amen. Ananias and Sapphira were pretending They were trying to act out the part without the heart. I want to ask you something this morning. Is your heart in serving Jesus? Is your heart really in what you're doing for God? Or is your heart involved in something out yonder in the world? Is it number one? Somebody said, oh, Brother Hall, there's not much profit involved in that. I'm more interested out here in the world where I can profit my life and profit my family and profit myself. May I say to you, there's no greater profit to your family, a gentleman, as being the head of your household and seeing to it that your family is in the house of God and your family is under preaching and your family is involved in the church and your family is involved in the work of the house of God. Amen to God. That's what's number one in your life. Our problem today is our priorities are all bent out of joint. Amen. You have prayer meeting, three or four men show up. No, somebody, don't have me no excuse. I don't even want to hear it today. I'm telling you, I feel like I've eaten done pattern. I don't even want to hear it today. Buddy, I'm telling you, we can't have a heart for God if we can't even pray for God. Amen. Hey, come on in the house. Don't tell me how holy and righteous we are if we cannot even have a heart to try to get a hold of heaven and pull down the blessings of God upon the house of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Won't charge you nothing for that. Amen. Now, Peter is once again the spiritual leader here. And he very quickly detects the lie that Satan has placed into the heart of Ananias and Sapphira. So the first point, and I've only got two, is their spiritual pretense. In other words, they're spiritual pretending, just a spiritual pretense. The real sin of that was that their desire to be thought to be a saint. Amen. They wanted people to think they were a saint. Come on in the house now. Amen. Hallelujah. In other words, a hypocrite, they put on one face at one time, like a play actor. And when they played another part, they laid that. In the old times, that's the way they done plays. One person played several parts. They had faces that hold up. That's what a hypocrite is. That's what the Bible means a hypocrite is. One person and is trying to play a character that they're not. Now I'm telling you, we got a whole lot of folks that's trying to play the part without the heart. And they're trying to have a character that God hadn't given them. May I say this to you? Come on in the house. I know there is a battle raging when we're saved by the grace of God. But I also know that there are some things when we're saved just comes out naturally. I mean, the Holy Ghost in you, working out of you, will make things natural for you. Now, I'm going to tell you, I believe one of them is a love for the Word of God. Oh, I tell you, I read years ago a man, John Anselin, in the year, I think, 1000 A.D. I'm talking about just a thousand years after before Christ. John Anselin said, I find no rest but in a nook with the book. Amen. Amen. Now, I'm telling you, hey, and it's a chore for people today to even read the Bible. Come on in the house now. Hey, I believe when you're saved, God gives you a love for that book. He gives you a love for knowledge of that book. Hey, let me ask you something. Did you ever go on a vacation without picking up some kind of literature and reading about where you were going and what was going to be there after you got there and what were some of the sights you could see and what you could do when you get there? Everybody that goes on vacation does that. Well, I'm glad I got a book. Hallelujah. I'm going on a vacation that is out of this world one of these days. You better believe it. Now, I want to know a little bit about where I'm going. I want to know a little bit about what I'm going to be doing when I get there. I want to know a little bit about the people I'm going to meet when I get there. Amen. I want to know about all the sights and all the attractions. Now I'm here to tell you that God has got planned out for you and I that are saved. Ladies and gentlemen, a place that is out of this world that eyes have never seen, ladies and gentlemen, and human flesh has never
entered in to that wonderful, holy, beautiful city that God has prepared for them that love Him. Hallelujah. I'm glad there's walls of jasper and streets of gold. Thank God there's gates of pearl. Amen. And there's angels and seraphs singing on every side. Thanks be unto God. There's a river of life running out of the throne. And here's the whole story of it. And there's one on the throne that loved me enough to become flesh and die upon the cross, and that I might be saved by the good grace of God. Thanks be unto Him. What a God. I want to know a little bit about Him. That's why Paul said that I may know Him. Amen. I met Him one time at a cross. I'm going to meet Him again in the air. And I'm telling you, according to Revelation 4, I'm going to meet Him around the throne. When the 24 elders, 12 in the Old Testament, that's government. 12 in the New Testament, that's government. And when all the saints of the Old and New Testament fall down and worship Him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. I want to know Him and the power of His resurrection. Amen. And the fellowship of His suffering. I want to be made conformable unto His death. Do you really want to know Him this morning? Do you want to apprehend Him as He has apprehended you? I'm telling you, in that Bible is the greatest love story that's ever been told and the greatest lover that's ever been in the world, the Lord Jesus. He didn't love folks for sexual reasons like the people today. He loved us because our soul was depraved and lost and undone. And God sent Him into the world to be a propitiation for our sins. Bless His wonderful name. Now, why would I want to fool around with holy things? Nadab and Abihu played with strange fire and God killed them. Ananias and Sapphira played with holy things and lied to the Holy Ghost and God killed them. Lord, issue a warning to you and I. So they were just trying to, wanted people to think they were a saint. They wanted to be regarded as consecrated when they were not. They wanted folks there to think that they were really dedicated to the work. Well, here's our money. We sold our land. Here it is. Let me ask you a question. Is that all of it? Oh, that's every penny of it. Let me ask you something, Ananias. Why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? You've not lied to man, but unto God too you've lied to. The Bible said when he heard that, he fell down dead. And the young men went out and buried him. About 3 hours later, here come his wife in. Peter said, you sell the land for so much? Yes, so much. Amen. The Bible said, the footsteps of those that buried your husband are at the door, and they'll carry thee out also. Amen. And she fell down and died. They carried her out and buried her by the husband. And the Bible said, and great fear come upon all the people that heard that. Yes. I'm going to tell you why, and I'm not saying I want to see anybody die. God forbid, I don't want to see anybody, especially anybody die and go to hell. It really don't hurt me as bad when I know they're saved. You know, ain't that a blessing to know somebody, when you're saved, if they die, they're going to heaven, glory to God. Amen. Don't that relieve the hurt and the pain just to know folks are saved? Hey, that's why we ought to be laboring and witnessing and testifying and singing and preaching and telling about the good grace of God. There's souls all around us. I look at these poor benighted heathens around us. And I'm telling you, my heart goes out to them. They don't know how to wear their clothes. They got to hold their britches up when they walk around. I'm going to say they're just ignorant to the Word of God. Amen. They're ignorant about Christ. They're ignorant about salvation. They don't know, hey, they don't really know. They don't really realize where they're going when they die. Amen. The news media and television has painted such a deceptive picture of life and death and heaven and hell. Amen. They have their conscience, has no understanding of what's going on in life. And I'm afraid many of them, like the Bible said, their conscience has been seared with a hot iron. They know nothing about God. And I guarantee you there's folks at the big church today, the first church, They spoke at the first church that came in, the ladies, just to show off the new dress they got, or the necklace they got, or the Mother's Day present they got, the full carat ring, you know, on the finger. And there's men that will come strutting in just because they're businessmen in the community and got a place in the community. And they're just interested in going to the first church because it's the big church, when in reality they're in no church. They're just in a group of people. They need to come to a church where the Holy Ghost is at and where God is working. Amen. And moving folks' hearts. Hallelujah. I want to be in the church where God's working, don't you? Amen. Where the Spirit of God has got liberty.
Amen.
I mean, you may like it, I don't, to go to church and the preacher stands and puts his hands on this, and he's like John MacArthur or David Jeremiah, or like, what's the fellow's name that died a while back, the Presbyterian that was, we took off, it was here, my Lord said unto my Lord, huh? J. Vernon McGee. And never move a muscle. They may want to be like, what's the fellow's name that wrote the book on Psalms, Benny, that we got? You threw away. Huh? John Phillips. Like those through Moody School, and they just stand, and with monotone language, they talk to you and tell you how wonderful everybody is, how good God is, and God would send nobody to hell. And everything's going just fine. I'm going to tell you, friend, that's not for me.
Amen.
I don't. If you can read Acts 5 and get that out of it, you can get more than I can. I don't believe that Peter said, "Sweetheart, the feet that carried your husband out, I hear coming in, and bless your little heart. You going, oh no." He said, "The feet that carried your husband out set the door. And because you're priming to this lie and priming to this sin and know about this sin, they're going to carry you out and bury you also, because in your heart is the same malice that was in his heart and the same lies in both of you's heart, and God is taking both of you out because of it." Amen. That's right. Now listen carefully. The sin of pretended sanctity takes many forms, and it involves more than money. It'd be an exaggeration of our gifts, how much we give. Be minimizing the means of our giving. Well, Brother Hall, I'll give all I can. That's what they said. We give all that we can. And really, they kept back part of the land. Brother Hall, we give all to the ministry we can. Can we give too much to keep sinners out of hell? Can we give too much to the work of God? Can we give too much to Him that gave us all? And can we give too much to Him that gave us what we're giving to Him? As I look around in this congregation this morning, I don't see any of you ladies sitting in here that when you come into the world, you was wearing a mink stole and a $5,000 ring on your finger and a $10,000 ruby around your neck. Naked.
Amen.
I don't see a man in here that was born with a Rolex around his wrist. Naked.
Amen.
Buddy, I'm telling you, you come into the world with nothing.
Amen.
And everything that we have is His. And He's allowed us to use it if we'll be faithful stewards of what God has given us.
Amen.
Amen. He'll bless it.
Amen.
Now, they pretended that they were holy and were not. And I want to say that is a difficult thing, ladies and gentlemen. That's a terrible thing.
Amen.
To sit and pretend like that we're holy, more holy, holier than somebody else. He that is without sin cast the first stone, I believe Jesus said. But I'm going to tell you what this is referring to is people that get up and brag about how holy they are and how sinful somebody else is. Oh, may God help us. I'm telling you, we better get the beam out of our eye and look into our own heart and see what's in there, I'm telling you, you may find there's some sin in your heart that you never knew was there. Have you really ever got down on your knees and said, Lord, show me myself. Examine my heart. Try me. Prove me. Let me know what is in my own heart. You may come. You may have to puke up some things you didn't even know was there. But I'm telling you, nothing bothers me any more than folks that get the idea they're holier and better than somebody else. Oh, I'm holier than you because I've got higher standards than you have. You can take your standards, bless God, and 50 cents and run uptown, buy a cup of coffee with it if you're fortunate. If you're a senior citizen, you get a small cup. We talk about standards. What about holiness? You can have standards as high as the ceiling and be as sinful in your heart as man can be. Well, preacher, I've thrown my television set out of the house, and my wife never puts on a pair of pants, and my wife's got long hair, and I dress this way and that way, and I'm telling you, I've heard preachers, I don't eat out on Sunday, and I don't even go to places where they sell beer, or to gas stations where they sell beer, and I've heard it all, ladies and gentlemen, and some of the very wives that I've heard preaching that, their wives were caught 3.5 years laying with adultery with a man in the church. Their wives were caught with 19-year-old boys in the church. Come on in the house, ladies and gentlemen. I'm simply telling you, I am sick to my guts. And I've got some convictions and standards. But I'm sick to my guts with people bragging about their standards. I want to tell you something. Standards is not holiness. Holiness is a consecrated, dedicated heart to God, ladies and gentlemen, that gives all. I mean, hey, present our bodies. If we present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, that means everything we got comes along with it. Playing church. Just pretending. Spiritual pretense. And I want to say this, there's a special danger. There's a special danger to this in times of revival meetings or high spiritual services when God is moving in a wonderful way, moving in the midst and blessing people. And some will pretend that they're blessed. And in reality, God hadn't touched them. They want to be partakers of what everybody else is getting so bad. I've heard people get up and testify about how God helped them. And I've heard another person get up right behind them and say, well, I thank God for the brother or the sister, but God just didn't touch me that way this morning. Just being honest. And I'm just telling you, we need to get a hold of that. Because I'm telling you, God don't bless everybody in the same way, ladies and gentlemen. God might move in this service today and bless Brother Ricky over there or the Teague family. He may bless Brother Jerome or Brother Woodard and his family, Brother Billy and his family, and not bless everybody else. He may do something for you that he doesn't do for everybody else. Now, I'm going to tell you, the problem comes in is when we try to imitate what God has done for somebody else and try to pretend that God's done the same thing for us when God hadn't done anything for us. Amen. Church playing. Amen. Pretense. Amen. False pretense. Amen. That's what it amounts to. Their sin, of course, was they lied to the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost can be quenched. He can be grieved and he can be lied to. Amen. And I wonder how many come in here this morning and grieved him. Amen. Because of sin in her heart. Brother Gene called this morning. He said, we was talking. He said, how was the meeting, Brother Raines? I said, it's all right. But I said, it never did get as high as what I'd like to see it get. I mean, the spirit, you know. Now, I'm not talking about running the aisle of the church. I'm just talking about a good high spirit in the church. I said, as far as I'm concerned, Thursday morning was about the highest I seen it get. It didn't get much higher than that. And I said, that's about all it done. Brother Gene said, too much sin in the camp.
Amen.
Too much sin in the camp.
Amen.
When God is grieved, there is sin in the camp.
Amen.
And when God is quenched, he's dealing with somebody and they'll quench the Holy Ghost rather than allowing Him to have His wonderful way in your heart and life. Are you listening? I hope so. They attempted to deceive by falsehood. Their sin was of deep hypocrisy. The appearance of consecration without the genuine experience. I wonder how many folks today are in churches. How many folks today in churches are take on the appearance of consecration, of holiness, if they don't possess it in their heart. May I say to you that God's not going to miss it.
Amen.
The preacher might be fooled.
Amen.
People of the church might be fooled. And I'm telling you, there is one that's got eyes of fire and feet like brass that comes to seek out the sin and judge it. And I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, He's not missed a trick.
Amen.
He knows what your heart is thinking about right now. He knows what your thoughts are right now. Oh, somebody said He can't know that. There's too many people. He's a big God. His thoughts are not our thoughts, and His ways are much higher than our ways. Are you listening to me? We got a great big God this morning. We sure have. They lied deliberately. The woman lied deliberately in verse number 2, verse number 8. We clearly see where the wife was in cooperation with her husband's. And I want to say something about that. That woman lied too. Now you get a hold of this. If you don't get a hold of nothing else, I'm saying you women get a hold of this. A woman can either further the evil of a man, or a woman can further the blessings of a man. And I'm going to say this, and some of you men will get hair-lipped right here, but a woman has great power with God. Eve is the mother of all living, friend. Now I'm telling you, God has given a woman a gracious place in society and a gracious place in the family and a gracious place in the church. And a woman has the power to influence her man one way or the other in life. You better mark down what I'm telling you. Son, I'm telling you, a woman can influence her husband for evil. You think a woman can't influence people? What are you going to do about Herodias, a hellcat, when she told that daughter, here's her own little girl, could have anything that she wanted. And all. And Herodias said, you go in there and get John the Baptist's head. That's what I want.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, you women in here,
amen,
a virtuous woman is hard to find.
Amen.
But I'm telling you, on the authority of the Word of God, you can help promote your husband, or you can tear him down, one of the two. And if he ain't what he ought to be spiritually, put your toe in his backside and help him if you're in that kind of a family. And there are families where the woman, I hate to say this, there's families that I know that the woman seems to have more spiritual discernment and more zeal for God than what the man's got. And if you have, put your spiritual boot in his backside and motivate him a little bit to serve God.
Amen.
You've got the power to do that, and I'm talking about spiritually doing that. I'm not talking about any carnal means. Don't get no carnal ideas. I'm not talking about carnality. I'm talking about being a sweet, loving wife that can either further your husband for good, or you can be a Herodias, a hellcat, and tear him down. All you've got to do is feed your little innuendo into his ears and let him listen to it and watch it pull him down. And I'd say that some men can't be much more than they are because they're fighting hell by the acre in the living room of the house.
Amen.
Boy, it got silent, didn't it?
Amen.
Got a wife like Sapphira.
Amen.
Oh, yeah, we sold it for so much. Come on in the house.
Amen.
Men, if you've got a wife like that, be a man.
Amen.
Take the reins. Take the bull by the horn.
Amen.
I'm telling you, our church will never have revival until some of you men stand up on your own two feet and take a place in the house of God as a pillar in the church, as a leader in the church, as a man of God in the church. Amen. Then we might have some revival. But I'm telling you, we'll never have revival the way things are going now.
Amen.
Amen. Telling it right, ain't I? Be a leader.
Amen.
Praise God, come to church with a little spirit in your heart.
Amen.
Come up here on the altar and pray before service. Go to a Sunday school room back here. Go to one of the prophet's chambers and pray.
Amen.
Come in the office and pray.
Hallelujah.
Get your hand up in the air a little bit. Some of you men act like you're afraid to say amen.
Amen.
You, the last time I looked, I don't believe that was a sin. Say amen, preacher.
Amen.
And Brother T, I guarantee, now I'm not talking about you folks because you don't come here. But I guarantee there's some folks in here that'll say, oh, we sure have a low spirit. There ain't much going on down out in Ford Baptist Church. That's what exactly what I'm talking about. That's exactly what Ananias and Sapphira was. Ain't much going on around here. And they're the very trouble. They're the problem. They're the reason things aren't going on around the house of God.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. And some will criticize what's going on here and the low spirit we got here. Let me ask you, Mr. and Mrs. Ananias and Sapphira, what are you doing? What have you done today to bring the Spirit up a little higher and help us to worship God in Autumn Ford Baptist Church? If you can't even say amen, don't you go criticizing what's going on around here. Especially when I've got liberty to preach like I got this morning. We got visitors in the house of God. You all, some of you better be glad we have. I'm a little lighthearted today. But I want to see there. I want to for a minute just very quickly there. Spiritual pretense. I want to look at Peter's spiritual perception. This is where our great apostle comes into picture. Here's where that great man of God that wrote that first book and second book of Peter we're going to be studying here in just a week or two. Here's where he comes into the picture. He is now, look, get this now. Everything Peter did in the four Gospels, he failed. Failed everything. Even to the denying of the Lord. But oh, now, he's full of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Somebody said, preacher, you just cussed. No, that's not a cuss word. That's a Bible word. In fact, it says right here, Peter said, Ananias said, what has Satan filled thine heart? The light of the Holy Ghost. I mean, it's in the Bible. He's full of the Holy Ghost. And in, get this now, in being full of the Holy Ghost, he's got a little more knowledge than he had before. He's got a little more authority than he had before. But here's the thing, he's got a little more discernment than he had before. You better believe it, the Holy Ghost fills you, you'll be able to discern your right hand from your left hand. There will not be a Ninevite in the house of God, ladies and gentlemen, if you get filled up with God. I'll tell you the Holy Ghost to give you some spiritual discernment, friend. Better believe it will. And it, hey, it didn't take. Can you get a hold of this? Joshua fell on his face and prayed for several hours before God finally said, get up!
Amen.
They sent in the camp. God never did tell him while he was praying what was going on. But I'm telling you, old Peter didn't even have to pray. Holy Ghost immediately, when old Ananias walked in, I'm telling you, it was real all over the countenance of his face. Peter said, come on, Ananias! You laid that much down. Is that exactly now what you sold that land for? Oh, yeah, that's exactly. Well, let me ask you a question. What has made Satan fill your heart and cause you to lie to God that way?
Amen.
When he heard them words,
amen.
God didn't even give time for Peter to pray for him and ask God to spare him.
Amen.
Anybody listening?
Amen.
Oh, Brother Peter, he gets right to the problem. He is led by the Spirit. He is taught by the Spirit. He is full of the Spirit. He has knowledge. He has discernment. And he traces the source. Now, I want you to get hold of this. And I've been on Ananias and Sapphira pretty hard, but I want you to get a hold of this. Immediately, Peter, with his discernment, traces the problem right to the source. Get a hold of it. And Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan? There's the culprit. And may I say, he said, he filled thine heart. And I'm going to tell you something. If your heart is full of Satan, ladies and gentlemen, no room for God.
Amen.
If your heart is filled up with lies and hypocrisies, no room for God.
Amen.
Immediately, Peter points out the problem. And may I say that every problem that we have stems from him.
Amen.
He's a devil.
Amen.
He is a forked tongue devil that don't know how to tell the truth. And somewhere along the line, the devil crept up on Ananias and Sapphira's shoulder and said, don't you know that if you give all that, you are flat broke and you're at the mercy of the church. Don't give it all. Hold back a little. Everything will be all right. Put a little tuck money back and everything will be all right. But I'm telling you, if they'd have come in and said, now, Peter, we sold it for $50,000 and here is 40 and we kept 10. We don't keep 10 of it, but we do want it. There would have been no problem. But they said, this is what we sold it for. And they lied. And let me ask you a question this morning. What did Jesus say about Satan? Ye are your father the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, for there is no truth in him. And when he speaketh a lie. Why does he speak a lie? Because he speaks of himself.
Amen.
And he is a liar. Amen. And the father of it. And he's the one that filled their heart to tell that lie.
Amen.
But listening?
Amen.
Playing church. I hope ain't nobody in here today just playing church, playing with God.
Amen.
Toying with holy things. 1 Peter 5:8-9, the Bible said, be sober. Oh, I want to say this. I'm going to say this before we get there. The will always yield, but is never overcome. Now, you need to write that down in your Bible. Your will yield to temptation, but your will can never be overcome.
Amen.
We're tempted. When we're drawn away of our own lust and enticed. I'm telling you, the will does not have to give in to that enticement. In fact, the will does not have to be drawn away after our own lust in our heart. Oh, he was tempted. Because he lusted after that money. He lusted after it. It may not be money with you. It could be a number of things that you're holding back. Let me ask you this. What are you holding back from God? What are you holding back from God? If you could only realize the blessedness of just singing that song, I surrender all to Him I freely give. I surrender all.
Amen.
What are you holding back? They held back part of the price. The Bible, and get this. The Bible said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. And James 4:7 says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. And it was the devil that filled his heart.
I'm
trying to hurry. I'm trying to hurry. What have you held back? What has Satan tempted you with in holding back this morning? Maybe a word of testimony. Maybe a little shout of acclamation. Maybe an amen. Maybe a praise the Lord. I've been in services before and just one person just say amen. Just God, just glory to God. And it just breaks like fire. You know why? Because they're the ones that was holding back that little bit from God. Everybody else was willing to give it, but they couldn't because God was being held back. Held back.
Yeah.
Now, There's another thing here. Not only was Satan, he said, Peter answered, verse number 3, Ananias, why is Satan filled thine heart? And he said in verse 4, whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not thine own, in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. You see, Satan was not only a problem, but self was a problem. Self. Well, it was yours, Ananias. It was, even after you sold it was in your power. But you brought part of it and laid it down here and kept the rest and told me that was all of it. And in doing so, you lied to the Holy Ghost. Now I want to show you something I'm done. The severity of this judgment, both Ananias and Sapphira died. Why? Why did God kill them? I've got three or four little things here and I'll dismiss them because I'm done preaching. It was demanded because of the circumstances they were involved in. The church was in its infancy stage and everything depended on its life. And their death brought great fear upon all the people. Secondly, there was a need of a deep impression as to what sin meant. See, there's not really a deep impression today of what sin is. Preachers have just candy-coated it and soft-soaped it. Went along with it. Everything's all right. And I'm going to tell you, God took their life because He wanted people to know what sin, what is the wages of sin? Somebody just tell me. Death. As far as I know, Romans hadn't been written yet. But God wanted them to know they couldn't sin and get by with it. Now I heard a preacher, I read in a book rather, Brother Tigg, a preacher said this. He said, God doesn't deal with people today as He did in that. He deals with them in the same way, but not the same consequences. He said, for instance, he said Eve, or Lot's wife, when she looked back, she turned into a pillar of salt. He said there's a lot of folks sitting on church pews that have turned back from God. They're in church, but they're a pillar of salt. And I'm afraid there's a whole lot of people like Ananias and Sapphira. They're in church, but they're just dead. It's dead. Well, they're there. They're dead. And I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. People today in churches today have absolutely no understanding of the deep consequences of sin in our life. And what it will do. Now, you know the old saying, sin will take you farther than you want to go, cost you more than you want to pay, and it'll keep you there longer than you want to stay.
Amen.
And I want this church to know that there are consequences of sin. I could name some that's been through here that I could talk about if I wanted to. They needed to recognize what the authority of the Holy Ghost meant. Folks today have no earthly idea that God in Acts chapter number 1, that Christ gave Him commandments to give to the church. When He has come, He'll guide us into all truth. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost is a powerful person.
Amen.
That is a living person.
Amen.
And it's His responsibility to be in the church and do work in the church. And convey Christ to the hearts of people in the church.
Amen.
People need to realize that the Holy Ghost of God has got power and authority in the
Amen.
House of God. And then they needed to know what the holiness of God really meant. I would say that Ananias and Sapphira was probably thought upon from the congregation as probably being the holiest family in the whole church. While they know everything there is to know, In fact, they know more than Peter does. They're so spiritual, so super spiritual, so holy. They even know more than Peter does. But God showed up on the scene and showed that church what holiness really meant. What about you this morning? You holding back something? Are you pretending? You'll pardon me for saying this. Years ago, I don't know how long ago, don't know who sang it, I don't remember the words to it. I just remember there was a song out called "I Am the Great Pretender." That was the name of it. I can't remember how it goes. The man sang it. He was a great pretender. And I wonder how many folks sitting in Baptist churches today are great pretenders. All with their lips, they profess. In their heart, they do not possess the Spirit of God. Let's stand together.